Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I wrote all of my notes for this podcast on my brand new iPad. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I'm just some chick, ruler of the planet Omicron Persei 8. And I am an anomaly.
Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast,
to the
everyone.
Podcast.
Yay, we're totally back or something. This does feel a little weird with headphones. I might take them off.
Okay. You say that every time.
I do. Okay, that's better.
Okay.
I'll just talk, I guess.
So how are you? You've been kind of lazy lately.
I know, I've been totally lazy.
You're not putting up Anomaly. You messed up the feed.
I didn't mess up the feed.
You're doing, I don't know, what, work?
I'm doing work. I'm raising...
You're surviving cancer or something?
Oh, I just survived cancer on my off times.
How lazy of you.
I'm totally lazy. Chemotherapy makes you really lazy. The one thing I kind of miss about it is I would go to sleep at like 8 and I'd wake up at 8. I'd get like 12 hours of sleep like every night. That's the one thing I miss. I don't miss anything else.
No. So why don't you tell the people? Not all of them know.
I had to have chemo, which really sucked, but I am completely cancer-free right now.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
Indeed so.
I'm so very, very glad.
It's very exciting. Now, I mean, I still have, you know, my cancer risk is still the same. I mean, it's still like above the average person because of what's happened. But I'm doing good. And actually, I'm going to be better than most people because they're watching me like a freaking hawk. I have to have like tests like every few months. And so I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. And I'm feeling so much better. My energy level is like 10 times what it was like a couple months ago. So I feel much more Angela-rific.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Thank you. I've watched a lot of TV in this time. A lot of lazy TV. Not all of it was geeky, though. I did some of my old stuff, too, so my normal girl stuff. What can I say? What else have you been doing?
Answering questions from concerned listeners as to why our feed was down and what happened to all of our podcasts and why are they on iTunes but I can't download them and what's going on and blah, blah, blah.
It's kind of complicated.
If you will recall, on our last podcast, we said don't freak out, but this could happen because we're switching the feed to another server and to a different computer.
Which still hasn't happened yet, but...
Yeah, so it could go down again.
No, I don't think it will, because if something happens on my computer, I'll be able to fix it pretty quickly. Anybody who knows computers knows that if you have to go through like 3 different people to get things done, wires get crossed and whatever. So we had some miscommunication about which Buffy episode was going to be our last Buffy episode on the feed.
And so the first one deleted
so
all of them.
20 extra episodes were deleted that were never deleted from the feed. But anyway.
Yeah, we had to archive them because we had too many. That's another thing.
Yeah, we had too many episodes.
Too many podcasts on the server, not enough bandwidth or server space.
Memory,
something.
I don't know how that works.
Some kind of technical crap.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Anyway, thank you to Jedi Jeff Job for all of his help. He's helped us a lot.
He has.
Because he also helped us customize our new website.
Yes.
Which is now live.
And it's beautiful.
Along with a Geek Emporium.
Oh, yes.
And we now have anomalous products for you to buy. T-shirts and tankards of doom and... whatnot.
Jen's worked really hard on this, you guys.
Yeah, and it's going to be a little different than other podcasts because I am a professional graphic designer, so that means I really like making things look nice and keeping things fresh. So it won't be the same graphic up there forever and ever. I'll be constantly updating them.
Yep.
So that will give you a reason to return.
And get more anomaly stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're going to a convention or something, on one of the days
them.
Of your convention, get an anomaly t-shirt or an anomaly mug or whatever and take it to the convention.
You might run into another anomaly, which has happened to our friend Sue, who ran into our friend Mark at Dragon Con last year.
But Mark is like our RL friend. He knew us before we started recording.
Yeah.
So
I know,
but still,
she knew him
anomalous.
By his pictures on our website.
True. Well, I've been playing with my iPhone a lot. a lot. And you have your iPad, so we're very eye-centered right now.
It's an iPad 1, unfortunately. They came out with the iPad 2. Of course they did. After I bought this thing. I did get $200 back.
Well, but it still works and it's nice. So there's a couple things that I've been looking at that have been amusing me. If you have never heard of it before, please check it out. It's a website called Cracked.com. Have you ever gone to Cracked?
Nope.
It is fabulous. It's a humor website. What I like about it is that it's very, like, our generational kind of humor, and they do a lot of countdowns, like the top 5 reasons why it's sucky to be a Joss Whedon fan, and what's another one? There was someone recently, this is one that was nerdy to me, and Sue shared with me on Facebook, and it was like the top 5 creepiest things in Shakespeare, and it's everything from that to like top 7 boring reasons to stay in a relationship. I mean, just like, you know, it's all kinds of weird stuff, but the cool thing about it that I really like is the writing style. I don't know, it's very Gen X, the humor is really cool, and there's stuff about Star Wars, and so it's kind of a nerdy thing. There's stuff on there that's not nerdy too, but I don't know. I think that a lot of our fans would definitely enjoy Cracked.com, so. And there's new stuff every day, and I think they get people, like normal people, to submit articles for them. So, I mean, like, they had one a couple days ago that was like, why the martini is the best drink ever created? So, and it's like a silly tongue-in-cheek article about the martini, so. So that's one. That's a website I've been going to a lot. Did I make you go to Reddit yet?
Jim did.
And it's REDDIT. And it's very... I'm trying to see... It's not really like any other website. But basically, you go on there and you can just go as a visitor and just kind of read, kind of like a forum. And you post articles or you post pictures or you post ideas. And then people comment on the said article, picture, idea. It's so simple, but it's also kind of complicated too. Like somebody will just post a silly picture of like a GIF from Lord of the Rings, and then people comment on it. Or somebody will say, I'm a 90-year-old candy store owner, ask me anything, and then a bunch of people ask all the stupid stuff of this guy, and it's just random stuff, and it's everything. It's everything from like love and relationship advice to like stupid stuff, you know, like cat pictures and things like that, those lull cats or whatever. But some of it is really funny, and it's very addicting to like continue to read through. Jim and I like it because you can't go very far without a Futurama reference or a Star Wars reference, or the generation of people who are looking at it are our people. So yeah. And they're mainly nerds, and it's the kind of thing where Jim has noticed that people that are on Reddit don't necessarily want other people on it, because I've never logged on to it. I've just read it before. I've read it. So I just enjoy it, but I've never contributed. But if somebody has contributed, I'd be curious what your experiences are. Because they're very, they're not very nice. So, so like if you said something that somebody didn't like, they would definitely tell you right away, or they'd make fun of you or whatever. So, but people are brave to put stuff up on there. So I just recommend it because it's just kind of a neat, fun thing to do if you're kind of bored sitting in front of your computer. Reddit.com and Cracked.com. So anyway, that's a couple of the nerdiest things I've been doing. What did I make you watch today, Jen?
Oh my gosh, the new Old Republic trailer for the MMO that's coming out, the Star Wars MMO.
I know.
It was awesome.
I know,
it
right?
Wasn't actual gameplay, but it was just kind of like movie cinema.
Cinematic.
Mode. Yeah. It was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes me want to play it.
I know. But, I really want to play it.
I've got too many irons in the fire.
Eventually we will.
Yes. And of course I would be a Jedi.
I don't know what I would be. I'd have to see what the choices are. I haven't done enough research, but I did already register my name.
Okay, you've already... So you're going to be in, like, what, demo mode, or...
I registered for the demo, but mm-hmm. I just didn't get picked. But you can register your name...
Oh, yeah.
...already. Mm-hmm. And so I registered my username.
What is your name?
Raynalyn.
Oh, okay.
That's my WoW name. And so it's like, I mean, most of you who are gamers out there, you know that, like, you have a certain name, and then you kind of just...
Yep, mine is Savril.
That's your name. That's your avatar.
I also go with Marinda Ball, but I'll stick with
that. That's your avatar name. And I mean, I like Archangela because that's like my Twitter name and my mm-hmm. forum name and everything. But everybody always likes Archangela, even though that's such a cool name. But Raynolin is a combination of my middle name and my sister's middle name. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a cool, funky. I like it. It's a cool name.
It works. So, Master Raynolin. It works.
Yeah. And I also, I think I registered as Raynolin Almira. First of all, it sounds very Star Wars-y, but it's also a Wheel of Time reference.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
By the way, this is a very long intro. The topic today will be E.T. and we'll get to it.
Sorry about that. Well, we haven't been doing this for a while.
We haven't. Just shut up and listen. You wanted this. You're getting it. I have been reading. I read three books from the Sword of Truth series. Mm-hmm. And I've read the first of the...
George R.R. Martin Game of Thrones.
And I have to say, I am not a Sword of Truth fan. The television series, in my opinion, and this is very rare, I said this, I have a whole little thread going on the forum about this, but it's rare for me to say that a television series is better than a book series, but it is, because mainly because of Caitlin. Not Caitlin. Caitlin's from the Game of Thrones. Caitlin. Amnell. She was so strong and someone I would want to name my daughter after in the television series.
Yeah.
The book series, the first three books, and I stopped. I don't know the way she is after the third book, but she is a weepy, crybaby woman. And she's always mooning after Richard. And I don't know if it's good kinds of lack of ability to write women characters, perhaps, or if he was doing it intentionally, but she just wasn't very strong. There was one instance where she was, and I was like, wow, that was awesome, and then she was back to being weepy, mooning.
Annoying.
Yes, annoying. Anyway, that irked me, but that wasn't what made me stop. I genuinely cared for several characters and wanted to know what happened to them, but I had to stop because of the number of times in a number of scenes that women were graphically raped or almost raped. It's just difficult for a woman to read.
I can understand that.
Over and over and over and over again. One time to understand that this is a bad world and that women have a hard time in it, I can understand why you would want to write that one time so that
right. We
would be creeped out and go, oh my gosh, it's horrible. But over and over and over again, it's like torture.
Yeah.
I can't do it. It's emotionally draining. So I had to stop. And I would not recommend it to anomalies.
Interesting.
But Game of Thrones... it's gritty, and there are some violent scenes and some sexual content, but the story was much better, and the women were much more admirable. I would recommend that if you don't have a problem with reading through some scenes that are graphic. So I recommend Game of Thrones, don't recommend Sword of Truth.
Interesting.
I also wrote a thread about the Game of Thrones, too, on the forum, if you want to read more.
Okay.
And, the other thing I wanted to mention before we go on to our main topic is that somebody in the Anomaly listening audience nominated us for a Parsec Award,
aww,
which is a major thing.
It's a major thing.
And it's not just for podcasts, it's for like web media. And it's an award given out at Dragon Con, I believe. Thank you to whoever did that. You're awesome. We appreciate that greatly. But unfortunately, because of our feed issues, we fell one podcast episode shy of being eligible for an award.
True.
So we could not follow through with the, submitting.
But maybe next year.
Yeah, next year, yes. So do it again.
Please.
Subliminal message.
Yeah, that was very subliminal. Very subtle there, Jen. Very nice.
All right, do we have anything else to add before we get on to the main topic?
We wanted to talk about the new Smurfs movie. Because our boss made us watch it today.
I didn't see the trailer, but...
Oh, you didn't?
I want to watch it. I loved the Smurfs when I was growing up.
Well, it's cool because it's very purposefully kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Silly.
It's a silly take on
it.
And, oh gosh, now I can't think of his name. Doogie Howser is in it.
Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria is in it as Gargamel. Mm-hmm. And Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love Neil Patrick Harris.
Me too.
And... he's fabulous, of course, and he's in it, and...
I bet he's
Amy
playing
Adams?
Vanity
Smurf. It's not Amy Adams. Oh, it's the girl from Glee. Emma. whatever.
I don't know.
It's the redheaded. The love
she's
interest.
She's probably playing Smurfette?
No. Actually, Katy Perry is Smurfette. Is the voice of Smurfette. Because Smurfette is a computer-generated character.
Yeah.
And the Smurfs are computer-generated characters in the real-life world. And it's just very, it's very silly. It's very silly. So go check out the trailer. You can just go to, like, their IMDb page and check out the trailer. It's real cute. So it looks exciting because, you know, like, most of the things that we like, it speaks to our generation because it's, of course, Smurfs. Yeah. But then it has a twist on it. So it's not just like, oh, you want a Smurfs movie. Let's show a Smurfs movie that you want to take your two-year-old to. It's not that. It's a Smurfs movie for
grown-up people who used to watch Smurfs.
Yeah, grown-up people who used to be into Smurfs. And that's really what it is, which is smart. Because that's the people who are going to want to go see it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that.
That's good marketing.
So that's definitely good marketing. And there's the Muppet
movie. Oh, yeah, I saw that. Looked really good.
And that's the one with Amy Adams and Jason Segel, which is cool because How I Met Your Mother. It's like two How I Met Your Mother stars. What I heard was, you told me this, or maybe Katie did, that evidently he's a big Muppets fan, and so he really wanted to do this. So that's kind of exciting that he was excited about. And the trailer is fabulous.
It is.
So that's another one that you should definitely...
Maybe we'll post both of those on the blog if you go to it to read the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just cute. I mean, they're just cute and fun and perfect. So good trailers, good for us. Definitely things we want to watch. So I think that's it. All right. Are you ready to talk about E.T.?
Let's do it. The main topic for this evening is E.T., the extraterrestrial, 1982, Steven Spielberg. Where were you back in the day? I bet a lot of our listening audience were twinkling in their father's eye.
I was watching Wrath of Khan.
But how old were you?
I was 6.
I think I was 8. So we were the target audience, I believe, for this movie.
You think?
Yes, I think it was written for children. It's been many years since I've seen this movie. I was watching it through different eyes this time around.
Of course.
When I was a kid watching this movie, it really scared me.
Wait a minute. Do you want to listen to the...
The audio comments? Are you interrupting me for that?
No, I just don't want to get like on a roll and
all
then
right.
forget about it.
Okay, I'll watch.
Play. You're the one who said it.
Yeah,
gosh.
I know.
Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
Switch accounts because I'm in my Yahoo account and need to switch my Google account. Girly geeks.
La 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 la.
Dun 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 dun. Oh my gosh, Casey sent us one.
Oh good.
Hey Jen and Angela, just wanted to send you a quick email about Steven Spielberg's E.T. I was originally going to send an MP3, but my dog is interrupting the recording process just a bit too much. Luckily, he was nice and polite during the Anomaly Supplemental Skype call with Sue. Anyway, I remember being exposed to E.T. through my cousins at a very young age, probably too young since I can't remember it that much. It was one of those movies that would always be on at a late hour, and I have more memories of falling asleep during that movie than actually watching it. Besides, it was such a big part of my generation's culture, like Star Wars was. Every TV show, movie, and some books have referenced or have tried to copy E.T. In fact, a heavy number of cartoons from the 1990s parodied it. I would list them, but there are far too many. I tried to find a copy so that I could watch it before sending you my comment. But alas, every library and... Oh, let's bleep out that part. But alas, every library in my area has their copies checked out. Perhaps you have listeners in that area? I'd like to think so. But even though I was unsuccessful in my search, I look forward to hearing you to discuss the movie, and I will hopefully have seen it as an adult by the time you post your episode. Looking forward to more episodes. It looks like you've got a solid lineup for the next few months. Love, Casey. Okay.
Thank you, Casey.
Rick sent some. Rick and Amy from the Take Him With You podcast.
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy.
And we do a podcast together called Take Him With You.
Yes, we do.
And we are anomalies.
I guess so.
No, we are. We've been married for almost 25 years, and I've brought her over to the dark side, and she now is becoming an all-out techie geek and science fiction lover and fantasy lover. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm not much of a gamer, though. I haven't got past Tetris and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Nah.
But I do like sci-fi and fantasy. And...
Yes, you do. And we are talking today mm-hmm. with the ladies from Anomaly.
Yes.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Angela.
And anybody else that's an Anomaly listening. We are talking today about E.T.
Extra. Terrestrial.
You had a cat named E.T.
I did. When we first met, I had a cat that was named E.T. and I named it because it was a striped cat and it had this big, thick, alien-shaped stripe down its back. It looked like an E.T. down its back.
Well, see.
So I named it E.T.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So what did you like about the movie and what did you think was so cool about E.T.?
Well, you know, I kind of look at things from an emotional perspective often.
I wonder why.
Because I'm maybe a girl. But anyway.
I look at things emotionally, just a little bit differently emotionally.
I liked how the little boy seemed like lost at the beginning.
Yeah.
Elliot.
And it seems like
Elliot.
He found his purpose and compassion.
Yes, feeding small aliens Reese's Pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter likes those. So anyway, I just thought that it was just a good family show for the most part. And the little girl who was Drew Barrymore was adorable in it. And just had a good hero, save the day kind of feel to it.
Sure.
From the little boy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I liked about it?
What?
The spaceship.
Yeah.
And... I liked E.T. himself because he was just odd looking. And
he was kind of cute.
Well, I don't know about cute, but I liked him. I liked how he moved. I liked how his neck craned up like that.
Phone.
And I liked how he talked
home.
A lot.
How do you say that?
Phone home. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
That was cute. I liked it when he got sick, though.
Well, I have a question. If mm-hmm. E.T. ate Reese's Pieces? Did he have Reese's Pieces feces?
No. That's not appropriate, dear.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I just wondered. Anyway, that's what I liked about him.
Do you think that's what made him sick, was eating all the candy?
I don't know. No, he was homesick. Remember his heart. He broke his heart
because he's away from his friends.
But we know
family.
How it ended. And so anyway, I like that. And I like the... I liked the whole idea of the fact that he triumphs in the end. And it just was really cool. And we actually went to the Science Fiction Museum mm-hmm. in Seattle and got to see the ship they used, E.T.'s ship, in the Science Fiction Room right next to the Star Trek stuff. Did you remember seeing it?
You know, I really didn't remember
They had
that.
The one they used in the movie right there. I got to see it live.
I'm kind of weird at sci-fi museums. I'm more interested in like looking at the scripts and things that kind of
And I just want
stuff.
To see the cool aliens.
He likes the aliens
and weapons.
The weapons and
so.
Yeah, we're different but the same.
I think that E.T.
very different.
I think that E.T. Well, thanks. I think that E.T. was one of those movies that was heartfelt. There's really. Not a lot of movies nowadays that compare to the old type of movies like E.T. They're very heartwarming, very on the edge and cool, and just a real... It was a people story that had science fiction elements in it, and that's really what made the best movies, and they really don't make them like that anymore. I hope Super 8's like that. because they have a new movie coming out, Super 8.
That's a J.J. Abrams.
With Steven Spielberg producing. Yeah, so
it
should be
pretty
good.
Probably going to be really good because both of them are very good directors, so, producers.
Out of 5 stars, what do you give E.T.?
Probably a solid 4.
Really? Yeah. I think it's a classic movie. I would give it a 5.
Okay.
You don't like it when I talk like E.T. Doesn't turn you on any, does it?
Well, that would be kind of awkward.
All right, we better say goodbye. This was a long comment. Anyway, I like E.T., you like E.T. You gave it a 4, I gave it a 5. Ladies from the Anomaly, we think you are awesome. And thanks for letting us talk about E.T.
Enjoy your podcast.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Phone home.
To find the Anomaly recording schedule, blog, Geek Emporium, and fan forum, visit anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com.
Rick, stop interrupting your wife.
Nice.
No, seriously, we appreciate your comments, both of you. And then Kenny also sent some comments.
Thank you, Kenny.
He loves E.T. He started a fan club when he was little, one of his all-time favorite movies.
Hello, Jen and Angela. This is Kenny from California. I'm also the host of Knights of the Guild podcast and the MASH 4077 podcast. I just wanted to send in some quick comments about your topic for this podcast. E.T., I'm so excited that you guys are doing a podcast on E.T. It is one of my all-time favorite movies. I totally love it. It came out in 82 and I was 12 years old, so that was like the perfect age. I identified with Elliot and there's just something magical about that movie. It was the very first movie I saw in a walk-in, at the time was what we used to call them, because we had drive-ins and walk-ins, and drive-ins were always cheaper because you can just take a carload of people. And there were four members of my family, so we would always drive to a drive-in and watch movies. That's how I saw Star Wars. That's how I saw most of my childhood movies, were in drive-ins. And I specifically remember seeing E.T. in a walk-in or in a theater, what we just call regular theaters now, and just being amazed, sitting there with so many other people. And I think it's one of the first movies that I just like bawled like a baby at 12 years old, because I was so involved with that movie. It was just an incredible feeling. You know, not many movies can do that. Star Wars did it for me. You know, definitely E.T. and Goonies. There were a few, you know, of my childhood memories that are very vivid, and watching E.T. is definitely one of them. The story was great. The acting was great. The special effects were incredible. I mean, and who, you know, what 12-year-old kid doesn't want an alien, especially a nice alien, you know, to come down to play with? And, you know, he had cool powers, and his neck would grow, and his heart would light up, and you just could not help but fall in love with this creature. I saw E.T. probably, I don't know, 10, double, definitely double digits. 10, 11, 12 times in the theater. I was so in love with E.T. that I actually started a fan club, my local neighborhood. I got all the kids, and we started a fan club. We used to have meetings, and we had little cards I made out, and there was newsletters I did. Yeah, I mean, I totally geeked out on E.T., and I actually got my poor dad to take us on a field trip to go to a screening of E.T. So I'm sure he loved that, because I think there were, like, you know, 6 or 7 of us, and some of us were, you know, probably the age from maybe 14 to about 8. So yeah, my dad had his handful, but I remember that screening. It was pretty awesome, and I think we got there late, and we were sitting really, really in the front, and I hated doing that, but for E.T. I'd do anything. But yeah, I'm totally looking forward to this podcast. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts on this movie. It was pretty incredible. I think I was just the right age at the right time to capture the magic of those movies. And you don't get that anymore. And I don't know if it's because I'm older or movies are just made differently, but I don't feel that special, you know, that special kinship or that special bond you have with the movie nowadays. And E.T. was definitely special, holds a special place in my heart, will always be one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time, and I am so glad you guys are doing a podcast, and I am rambling on long enough, so I will say thank you very much, and I will talk to you guys later. See ya.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com.
Hi, Jen and Angela. This is Meds from Martian Creative and Waffle On Podcast. Apologies for having to quickly record this on my iPhone. I've just got back from vacation. The house is a mess. The TV's not working, which is the most important thing. It's not working. I don't know why. Well, it is working, but we've got no signal. Stupid digital world. Anyway, doesn't matter. So, yes, back from vacation. And you're doing a podcast, recording it tonight, I believe, on E.T. In fact, you might be recording it already. Who knows? Anyway, this may be a bit useless. Anyway, doesn't matter. So, E.T., what do I think about it? I hate it. I can't stand this film. I despise E.T. It all comes back from when I first saw it at the cinema back in 1982. And I sat there with my arms folded in anger. And my mum turned around and says, "Why don't you like this film?" And I said, "Well, it's because I don't like the actors. I don't like the way it's filmed. I don't like anything about it. It's terrible." And she just looks at me saying, "You know, how precocious are you, little shit?" So I went back and watched it not long ago. And of course, Spielberg's got his grubby little hands on it and done a George Lucas on us by taking out what he'd probably deem to be offensive to us, e.g. guns. And we play some walkie-talkies. Unbelievable. Dear me. Not only did he provide us with a bad film in the first place, he went back and ruined it even more. Of course, that's just my opinion. Going back and thinking about it, what I don't like about it, I just don't know. It doesn't connect to me. Even when I was that age, I should have been at that age, at 9 years old, this should have been the film for me, and it wasn't. I was so let down by it. I hated it. I can't stand all this cuddly, feel-good stuff, you know. All the little alien that's hiding in the closet with drug addict Drew Barrymore. Of course, she was only drinking at that age, not taking any drugs of yet. And of course, she's clean now, so let's not go there, because otherwise we'd get sued. But no, I don't like the film. Can't stand it. But anyway, we can't like everything, can we? The world would be a really boring place if we all liked everything. But as usual, I can't wait to hear your episode, because I do love Anomaly. And it always brightens my week when I know there's a new episode coming out. So anyway, I've got to get back to unpacking and trying to figure out why I've got no TV, because I've got some Doctor Who stuff to do. Anyway, take care, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye!
Angela and Jen want to hear from you. Call 432-363-4742 and leave them a message.
And Meds hated it. And I told him it was un-American until I realized he wasn't an American. And then I just called him a commie. Because how could you not like E.T.? What is wrong with you?
Well, I'm not necessarily a fan.
He said it was a horrible, horrible movie. Horribly shot. Horrible actors. Just horrible all around.
I don't agree with that. I don't think it's horrible all around, but I feel a general meh.
You were doing meh when you watched it this time.
Well, there's definitely some parts I enjoy, and also I really, really love Steven Spielberg. Like, I love Steven Spielberg. I really, really do. And as a director, to me, it's the Steven Spielberginess that I love the most about the movie. And
what is Spielberginess?
I don't know. It's just that his skill as a filmmaker is completely timeless, and I don't know how to explain it. And there's other people who are into film that might agree with me, but I don't know. I just really think Steven Spielberg is, he's just a master. this is kind of silly, but I remember seeing a documentary once, and it was kind of a general documentary about history. And I remember they had Steven Spielberg like speaking on there, and it said Steven Spielberg. And then under his name, it's like filmmaker. And I was like, who needs to even put that? I mean, Steven Spielberg, there's a reason they call something Spielberg. You know, because it's Spielberg. I think he's done something just recently, but he hasn't been as prolific as he was in the 80s and 90s. But my amazement of the movie as an adult has more to do with my appreciation of Spielberg as an artist and less about my emotional connection to the movie itself. Because for me, what I remember as a kid, I mean, I just admit this, I know that I should love the movie and I'm a nerd and whatever, but Wrath of Khan came out the same year. I definitely was more affected by Wrath of Khan and was more drawn in to the Star Trek universe than I was about anything E.T. Like, I remember it, and I was also younger. Like, I was Gertie's age. We were talking about this earlier. So, I mean, obviously, it was it's a beautiful piece of film, but it doesn't resonate with me in the same way. I definitely was excited. Like, I really like that. The music is amazing, but John Williams, I mean, it's to me, it's John Williams and Steven Spielberg. I mean, they could film, you know, they could film a reality show and it'd be beautiful. I mean, that's just how they are. And so the artistry in that doesn't necessarily mean that I, you know, felt an emotional connection to the film. I guess when I watched it, my memories of it are of being very terrified of the end scene when they're all in the hazmat suits and that's my biggest memory, is being terrified of that. And that's what I took away from it, and not really the, you know, the emotionally, like, triumphant sections. It was more being terrified of the hazmat suits. Watching it earlier today, I do love the scene where they take off, where they're being chased, and then they all are airborne in the bikes, and the kids are all excited.
Yeah.
but just in general, compared to other movies, it's definitely a good movie, and I don't want to trash it. I don't think I feel the same way about it that Meds does. I don't get as excited about it as I get about other movies, I guess. Sorry.
I wouldn't say that I'm excited about it. I have said this several times about other movies, but it's nostalgic. I was Henry Thomas's age. He's the actor who plays Elliot, who's the main character in the movie, the little boy who finds the alien. I know that there are a few people out there who've never seen E.T., so let me give you a little background on it. E.T. is an extraterrestrial. By contrast to other alien movies, he is not the alien that's going to come threaten the human population. He is a lost, friendly alien who's just trying to find his way home. And Elliot is a young boy of probably about 7 or 8, maybe 9, who finds him and is trying to get him home again, because, you know, Earth is not a hospitable place for him. I think it's probably a story that was written for little kids, you know, within that age group, because, one, most little kids can identify with E.T. I'm sure a lot of kids have been lost in the grocery store somewhere and can't find mom or want to go home, so that you understand as a little kid. Elliot, he's in that age of, you know, kind of like talking back to his mom and being angry at his brother and just feeling lost until he finds E.T. and then he builds this relationship with this friendship with this alien.
Coke. See? We drink it. It's a drink. You know, food. These are toys. These are little men. This is Greedo. And then this is Hammerhead. See, this is Walrus Man. And then this is Snaggletooth. And this is Lando Calrissian. See? And this is Boba Fett. And look, they can even have wars. Look at this.
Let's see. It wasn't written by Spielberg. He just directed it. It was written by a woman by the name of... Hold on one second while I look it up on my nifty iPad. By the way, this is an advertisement for Apple. Yes, I am a Mac head.
Dear Apple, give us money.
Dear Apple, you want to sponsor our show? Okay, here it is. It was written by a woman named Melissa Matheson. What I've read is that it's kind of a...
Allegory,
thank you, that was the word I was looking for tolerance. I understand what they were saying about it, but really, now that I've watched it as an adult, the adults weren't bad.
No.
They were just trying to save him, too. Trying to, you know, they weren't... See, when I was little, I always thought they were trying to get him, trying to kill him, trying to hurt him, mm-hmm. because that was Elliot's reaction.
You can't get a pulse of blood pressure on the creature.
He doesn't look like he's breathing.
You can't break a stone. Feel my back.
Leave him alone.
Hold him up.
How's the child doing?
Unhook him. Give him
an over. Move it.
Okay, let's get the boy out of here. Get him moving.
Child, out of here.
Move it.
Move the girl over. Let's go.
Let's try some Vitellia, please.
Let's go, Vitellia.
It was scary. I remember those being very scary scenes, but now that I've seen it as an adult, I just don't see it that way anymore. It's just kind of a story about friendship, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And helping people. But anyway, he did get in trouble early on, I've learned, for plagiarism. There was another movie written in like the 60s called The Alien that people were saying that the story looked like it was taken straight from. And he was trying to say, no, I was just a kid back then. I wasn't even making movies. But someone pointed out in the article I was reading that shortly after that script was submitted in Hollywood, he graduated from film school and 4 years later he was making movies. So it was really close to the time that that script was submitted, but I don't know. Maybe it was inspired by it. Like we were talking about earlier about Jordan and Tolkien and being inspired by something and then ripping something off or using a lot of the same things and just naming it something else. I think there's a big difference in that.
There is.
So I don't know. Not having seen that movie, I don't know. I don't know. I know I'm talking a lot about this, but I am the person that liked this movie. And
that's
picked
fine.
It out, but
I'm not interrupting you.
It was, you know, the accolades for this film are huge. First of all, I'd like to say to Meds that it did make Princess Diana cry, so you may want to check your patriotism.
Don't be mean to Meds, because I totally get it.
I told him. I already told him I was going to rip him on this, because he was really mean. He was. I can't see a little kid of 8 ripping the acting in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
because one thing that that you and I noticed in watching it again as adults, mm-hmm. after many years of not seeing it, is there's not a lot of dialogue in this movie.
No.
It is really a lot of just scenes
and
music.
Story,
and
the storytelling is silent.
Yeah.
It's relatively silent. It's music and visual. It's not very, it's more, yeah, it's there's not a lot of dialogue. And I think if you haven't watched it in a while and mm-hmm. you look at it from that standpoint, you'll be shocked
yeah.
as to how little dialogue there
actually
is.
There is very little dialogue and you still get what's going on
yeah.
through just the scenes that are being portrayed. And you were talking about how great Spielberg is at doing stuff
yes.
like that. I kept telling you that it was like, I can totally see...
You can see the storyboards.
I could see the storyboards when watching the movie and see, you know, it was just
yep.
the camera angles and the light and, you know, the fog and...
Yeah, I definitely think there's beautiful moments.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I've already sung the praises of... I think Spielberg is awesome. So
mm-hmm.
it's... But I can't completely discount how Meds feels because I halfway agree with him. So...
Just that it's not your favorite film, but not that it's horrible.
No, not that it's horrible, but... There's a difference between us sitting here talking about this and talking about Star Wars, because when I talk about Star Wars or Star Trek, I am, like, deeply in love. I'm, like, deeply in love. So this, though I acknowledge it as an important movie, not a movie that stirs as much in me as Star Wars and Star Trek do.
Let me read some of the accolades. In American Film Institute polls, E.T. the Extraterrestrial has been voted the 24th greatest film of all time. That's major. 44th most heart-pounding and the 6th most inspiring of all time, all films, not just science fiction. The film was nominated for 9 Oscars at the 55th Academy Awards, including Best Picture. It won 4 Academy Awards, Best Original Score, Best Sound Mixing, Best Sound Editing, and Best Visual Effects. At the Golden Globes, the film won Best Picture in a Drama category, Best Score. It was also nominated for Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Male Star for Henry Thomas. The Los Angeles Film Critics Association awarded the film Best Picture, Best Director, and a New Generation Film for Melissa Mathison. The film won Saturn Awards, the Best Science Fiction Film, Best Writing, Best Special Effects, Best Music, Best Poster Art, while Henry Thomas, Robert McNaughton, and Drew Barrymore won Young Artist Awards. Composer John Williams won a Grammy and a BAFTA for the score E.T. and was honored abroad. The film won the Best Foreign Language Film at the Blue Ribbon in Japan, Cinema Writers Circle Awards in Spain, Caesar Awards in France, and David Donatello in Italy. And it holds 98% rating in Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is pretty darn good. President Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan were moved by the film at the screening at the White House in 1982, and as I mentioned before, Princess Diana was in tears after watching the film. Oh, and here's something interesting. The film was screened at the United Nations, and Spielberg received a UN Peace Medal. I wonder, though, if it was for that film or if it was just because. I don't know.
Probably because he hadn't done too much up to that time. Because his Holocaust stuff didn't come until after.
When I was talking about the plagiarism earlier, I have notes here about that.
That's okay.
It says, there were allegations that the film was plagiarized from the 1967 script The Alien by celebrated Bengali director, his last name is Ray. I can't say his first name. You'll have to forgive me for that. He stated that E.T. would not have been possible without his script, The Alien, being available through the United States. Spielberg denied the claim, stating, "I was a kid in high school when this script was circulating in Hollywood." Star Weekend magazine disputes Spielberg's claim, pointing out that he had graduated from high school in 1965 and began his career as a Hollywood director in 1969. Besides E.T., some believe that another earlier Spielberg film, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, was also inspired by The Alien. Interesting.
Yeah, and I noticed that when the alien craft comes to get E.T., it reminds
me. It does look a lot like the...
of Close Encounters. Mm-hmm. Right there. That way. Go further.
There it is. Looking for my water. I saw Dee Wallace, the woman who played Mary. It was Henry's mother. I saw her on a morning show. I think it was Good Morning America. And she was saying... this was pretty interesting. They kept E.T. At all times moving. A lot of his parts were robotic,
mm-hmm,
because of Drew Barrymore. They wanted her to believe that he was alive. And the moment that she saw him in the corner not moving, that magic would be gone. So they kept E.T. alive through the whole, you know,
filming process.
I just thought that was interesting.
I love Drew Barrymore.
I do too.
Keeping him.
What is it?
He won't hurt you, Gertie. He won't hurt you, Gertie. I'm not gonna hurt you. Is he a boy or a girl? He's a boy. Was he wearing any clothes? No. But look. Can't tell. Not even Mom.
Why not?
Because grown-ups can't see him. Only little kids can see him.
Give me a break.
Well, do you know what's going to happen if you do that?
Do it, Mike. We have to. Promise?
Yes.
You promise?
Basket. Bandit. Ball. Basket. Bandit. Ball.
I was feeling a little ill yesterday.
Oaks. Bananas.
And a bongo to beat. Intoxicated.
A beetle. Bubble.
And biscuit.
Beetle.
Biscuit. Banjo. You sure you have the right, Elliot?
And birdie. Bottles of wine.
And boxes.
And biscuit.
B is for boy, with a baseball and bat, who with one mighty
you said
ball,
B.
Not everything.
You said B. Good.
And banjo
B.
And birdie and bottles.
Good.
Okay, I'll be right down. Thank you. Birdie, I have to go pick up Elliot. Will you be a good girl and stay?
Mommy, he can talk.
Of course he can talk. I'll be right back.
just wanted to say goodbye.
There's no goodbye.
Be good.
Yes.
I have to admit, I mean, even through all of her troubles, I really love her. I think she's great.
I think she's an example of how people can straighten out their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Actresses, there is hope.
She's still a little kooky.
She is kooky, but that makes her endearing.
In a cool way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like her. I just like her.
I do too.
I don't really have any real reason for it. I just do.
Yeah. I don't know her personally, but she seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
She seems like someone we can hang out with.
Yeah, she seems very, I mean, especially compared with all the crap that she's probably been through and the whole Hollywood lifestyle and everything like that since she was a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
She could have turned out a lot worse.
She was kind of set up for failure.
She really was. So for her to be kind of as awesome as she is, and she's beautiful and sweet, and I mean, she just seems like a, you know, I don't know, maybe she's a horrible bitch, but but as far as my thinking of her is, I think she's kind of a cool person, and whoever's taking care of her, whoever her PR team is, go you.
Yeah, good job. Of course, she probably escaped them on the Dave Letterman show when she flashed him.
But see, that doesn't even bother me because, like, that's kind of a 20-year-old thing to do. It's just a silly...
Was she 20 when she did that?
Yeah, because that's what we were around. We were in our early
20s. I never flashed anybody at 20 years old.
No comment from me on that one.
Hey. But
what? You really want me to tell you?
What does that mean?
I'm not talking about you.
Okay.
Anywho, my husband listens to this show. I know it's hot because we had to turn off the air conditioner because it makes a lot of noise.
It does. And this is for you. We are suffering.
We're suffering
for you.
It is hot.
In Texas right now, the highs have been...
In the hundreds,
but humidity makes it worse.
Makes it worse. So eventually we'll have to stop this madness and turn on the air conditioner. Yep. Anyway, so I apologize for anyone who's like really in love with E.T. that I am not like in love with it. And I don't hate it, like evidently Meds does.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just doesn't strike me as much as ever. But I do appreciate what it is.
Would you recommend it to people who have children?
Oh, sure.
Would you say that for little geeklings, it would be an important movie to watch?
Oh, sure. I think, and I also think it's a classic. It's a classic, so it's something that needs to be watched.
May I bring up the point that the brother... and his group of friends were playing a role-playing game.
And they had, like, a whole 3D dungeon going on. It was awesome.
Elliot was like, can I play?
And he was like, so-and-so's the dungeon master. And I'm like, sweet.
The game master.
That was
We're like, we both looked at each other and like, oh my gosh, they're playing a role-playing game.
Five.
Oh, great.
So you got an arrow right in your chest, and you're out 10 melee.
Oh, no.
Don't worry about it, Mike. I got resurrection. I'll bring you back.
I'm already one of the undead, Greg. I can still throw death spells, huh, Steve?
I'm just trying to help you out, man. Don't be so cranky.
How about throwing a spell over the pizza man? Where's that pizza man? Get it, huh?
Well, I'm ready to play now, you guys.
We're in the middle, Elliot. Can't you join any universe in the middle? Hey, I got him. Mm. Yeah, what am I supposed to do?
Pop him out.
Okay, tell me.
Mike?
I know it's not for us. It's for his mother.
Mike?
Papa Uma.
You have to ask Steve. He's Game Master. He has absolute power.
Steve! Can I play now?
Go away for the pizza first.
Then I'm in.
Yeah, you're in. Figure out your strategy because you're playing after Greg.
Plenty of sausage and
you know, we're the only two girls in the world that like wish we could play role-playing games. Like
we
are so bizarre. I mean, because I'm sure there are people who've played role-playing games that are like, I wish I could talk to people, but instead we're like, we wish we could play role-playing games. We are so weird.
I wish I had friends. That's not true. We're stereotyping.
No, but I'm just saying. I mean, but tell me that doesn't exist.
No, you're right.
It does exist.
We are weird people.
It is what it is.
Yes.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point of us. But anyway, I thought that was cool. And then also there's something else. Oh, I love the mother's reaction when Elliot calls his brother penis breath. And the mother, like, laughs.
She's trying not to laugh.
That is such an honest reaction.
It is.
Because I would feel the exact same way if my son...
Like, seriously, did you just say that?
If my son said that, I wouldn't be able to stop myself from going, yeah.
Maybe it was an iguana.
It was no iguana.
Maybe a... You know how they say there are alligators in the sewers?
Alligators in the sewers.
All we're trying to say is... Maybe you just probably imagined it.
I couldn't have imagined it.
Maybe it was a pervert or deformed kid or something.
A deformed kid.
Maybe an elf or a leprechaun.
It was nothing like that, penis breath.
Elliot! Sit down.
That's something you might want to be aware of.
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't want to answer that,
there's a little bit of
profanity. If you don't, that's the only one. Well, it's like
there's a couple of hells and dams.
Damn, like Michael, his older brother.
Yeah, because kids that age talk like that, though. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, the older brother's what, like probably 15?
He's probably 15. And 15 and 6 year olds, they talk like that. It makes it more realistic, I think.
I love the scene when, and I used to do this as a kid. I used to try to do this. The friends of Michael, the 15 year old brother. They help Elliot and Gertie get E.T. out of the house and away from the adults who are trying to, like, package him up and ship him off. And one of them has a big headset on and, they like, these big, giant
sunglasses.
One very 80s sunglasses. And they all take off on their little BMX dirt bikes.
Yep.
And the scene that I'm talking about is when they finally find the point in the forest where they, you know, they're going to stop and get to the communication thing that E.T. made out of a speak and spell, which I had as a kid. And they all kind of slide in the dirt in a line. All of them. There was probably about five bikes all in a row. And my cousins and I had a BMX bike when I was little. My cousins and I used to all try to, like, slide. I used to play chips, too. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Chips. Really, Jen?
I digress.
Awesome.
I always had to be John. I wanted to be...
Paunch.
Paunch. She was the cooler one.
Indeed so.
My cousin Josh always made me be John.
Josh!
There was no girl. And then when we played Dukes of Hazzard, I always had to be Daisy. Because I was, like, the only girl in the group.
Well,
that was totally not a Daisy.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Again, I digress. The 80s were cool, and that was the major reason why I wanted to do this episode. Because
the 80s were cool.
The 80s were cool, and there was a lot of pop culture references, like Reese's Pieces, which you had a little story about the Reese's Pieces.
Well, and this is kind of like an urban legend part of the movie, is that they wanted to use M&M's, but M&M's was like, no, we don't want to... be part of a movie.
Yeah.
Stupid M&Ms. What were they thinking? And then Reese's Pieces, like, became...
Big after that. Yeah.
I remember that.
Elliot uses the Reese's Pieces to entice E.T. out of the woodshed. Or he runs into the forest.
Yes.
So Elliot kind of trickles a trail of Reese's Pieces...
To his house.
And E.T. follows them out of the forest.
True that.
It's a cute movie, and I highly recommend it to... A Little Anomalies.
Yeah.
I think it's a good one.
It's kind of a rite of passage movie.
It is. And, I mean, be aware that there are some little, like we were mentioning, some scary scenes. They're not gory at all, for a little kid who doesn't understand what's going on, it was a little much for me in the 80s. I don't know. Some kids may be used to more graphic things these days.
Maybe.
But for me, it was scary.
I remember it being scary.
Yeah. The one thing that I have to call shenanigans on...
Please.
...was when... The very first scene when Elliot opens the door and the guy in the pressurized spacesuit is standing in the door with the visor down and everything. It looked like he was in a NASA suit, like he was going to go do a spacewalk or something, and he's at the door. Shenanigans on that, because the rest of the time everyone was in just hazmat suits. Why was that guy in that suit?
I don't know.
He didn't need the visor. Was he afraid that E.T. was going to be like the surface of the sun and blind him or something?
I don't know. He didn't know what to expect.
Was he afraid there was a vacuum in the house that was, you know, going to be inhospitable to?
Who knows?
That was weird.
Adults are weird.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah. So
that's it.
That's our review of E.T. Hope you enjoyed it.
Very nice.
I am a voiceover artist and a geeky musician and a podcaster, and I am an anomaly. It's just true. I love the Anomaly podcast. It's really a lot of fun. I like listening to it, and I think it's worthy of your listen, too. So just keep it right here and listen, 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 listen. Send in your donations to help them keep it going all the time and do cool things like participate in their discussions and go to the forum and all that jazz. It's really, really a lot of fun. Hey, and you can find my music by going to the Anomaly Podcast website, anomalypodcast.com, and then you look over on the side, and I'm a sponsor of the Anomaly Podcast. Go figure. And you can get all three of my albums just by clicking on them. So there. Thanks for listening to the Anomaly Podcast. Girls, ladies, you rock.
I think we did all right.
Yeah. So do we want to mention anything else before we go? Oh, our miniskirt casts have changed.
Sort of.
The nature of our miniskirt casts will be different than they have been in the past.
Yes.
We are women who are geeky, but we are also normal. We're a nice balance of the two.
True that.
So our miniskirt cast from now on will be normal. We'll be talking about normal things.
We're going to be talking about...
I'm saying normal with quotations.
Yeah, with quotations.
Because what is normal?
There are things that we like that are not geeky at all.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about some of the things that interest us that are not geeky.
Yes.
So that's what our miniskirt casts are.
Yeah, and you can choose not to listen to those if you are, like, not an
but
anomaly.
But they'll be hilarious.
They will. And you will want, just like the non-anomalies who listen to our show, and there are a few who are not geeks who listen to our show and have no idea what the heck we're talking about, but find it entertaining. You may also find the non-geeky episodes of
because
our
because all of you fun. Just, you don't lie. Don't be a snob and say, well, I just read Robert Jordan and I just watch Star Wars all the time. No, every once in a while, when a stupid reality show's on,
you will get hooked.
You will watch it. And it's okay.
Yeah.
We're here to say that it's okay to get sucked into things that normal people are sucked into.
I agree.
And it's okay. It's okay to enjoy those guilty pleasures.
Yes.
That's okay by me.
Just as long as you don't become addicted.
True.
Like our friend Lisa.
But they haven't had a big brother
in a long
time.
I say that in jest.
So anyway, we love you, Lisa. All right, I think we're good. And hopefully we'll have a miniskirt cast coming up pretty soon.
Very quickly.
We're going to try to be on the ball, you guys.
Yeah,
Just for you.
We're sort of back. We had some very traumatic things happen in the past few months.
I think
months.
It was pretty traumatic.
Very traumatic things. Angela's surgeries. She had what? You had one surgery and...
Three surgeries.
And then I had... My mother-in-law passed away in between this podcast.
Plus, you just had a baby.
Last one. Well, that was a while ago.
True, but that's still pretty traumatic to a person.
I'm just talking about since our last podcast.
Oh, okay.
That was a lot of stuff within...
That's true, because of all our... And then all of our podcast issues.
Yeah.
So, but we've gotten that figured out.
So, we're back. We're back.
We're here.
And, you know... We were always on, you know, we did have a presence online. So if you're wondering what happened, you could have gone to our website and known because of our forum.
We've been on the forum and
Twitter
been on the blog.
And Facebook. Yeah, we've been around. So if you're missing Anomaly, always go to those places and you'll know what's up.
All right. I guess it's time to say goodbye.
Yes.
So long, farewell, all due to saying goodbye. I leave and
oh, that reminds
a sigh
me.
And say goodbye.
Thank you to Philbert from the forums for doing the awesome sing it. You
me?
Do a better job of
I want my anomaly. That?
Yes.
But he did much better, so
oh,
we'll
you
play
did
it
a
now.
Pretty darn good job. My range is not I am an alto. I don't do very good with soprano. So, Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap, Philbert. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast,
where female and fandom
converge.
Anomaly is created under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives 3.0 license. Say that three times fast.
I tell you, when you got a scratch, that's when you can. The smelly hippie is right.
My hands can touch everything but the zone. I think there was something in that hippie.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
This is Jeff from Champ Podcast. After you finish listening to this excellent podcast, I invite you to come listen to ours. My co-host Jason and myself cover open-wheel auto racing, focusing on Formula One and IndyCar. Each podcast, we review the races, we talk about drivers and teams, and all the news and rumors as well. So come give us a go. We can be found at www.champpodcast.com, that's with one P, or in iTunes, search Champ Podcast. Champ Podcast, the world's fastest podcast.
Hi, this is Kenny.
And this is Jenny.
We're the hosts of Knights of the Guild, the official fan podcast for the award-winning web series, The Guild.
We're not like your typical fan podcasts.
Both Jenny and I have worked on several seasons of The Guild and take our listeners behind the scenes to share our fun and crazy times on set.
We also have exclusive interviews with cast, crew, and fans of The Guild.
We keep you up to date on general Guild news and the latest happenings of our cast and crew.
So please give us a listen on iTunes or at knightsoftheguild.com.
Attention, attention, it's finally here, the first and only podcast dedicated to one of the most groundbreaking television series in history, MASH. Join the hosts of MASH 4077 Podcast, Kenny, Meds, and Al, as they discuss their thoughts episode by episode. They will also share with you some little-known behind-the-scenes information, trivia, and so much more. Find them on iTunes by searching MASH 4077 Podcast or online at www.mash4077.podbean.com.
Hello there, my name is Meds.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
Alright, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the Mark?
Alright, get on with it.
Okay. And we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast. And we like to talk about...
crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at http://... waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
I'm not.
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy, and we are the hosts of Take Him With You,
the weekly podcast where we discuss life at the Geeky Moyers home, and then we talk about our faith and how it relates to the world around us. As a matter of fact, we love listening to the Anomaly podcast. It's way cool. Jen and Angela, you guys are just awesome. Or girls, I guess. They're girls, aren't they?
Yeah, and I appreciate geeky girls because I'm a rather geeky girl myself.
I wouldn't be married to you if you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I love Star Trek and heavy metal music and fun things like that.
I like reading and home and garden TV and quiet things, soft music.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But we do live together, and we have for almost 24 years.
Yep.
we're married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance, come take a listen to our very fun weekly podcast. You can find us on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And
it's at takehimwithyou.com.
Yes, you're doing very well, honey. Keep going.
Okay, that's all it says. You can find us at takehimwithyou.com.
Or you can get us on iTunes as well. So do that. And thanks again, Jan and Angela, for your great podcast. Hopefully everybody will come check out Take Him With You after that.
Eight years on from Firefly, 5 years on from Serenity, you still can't stop the signal. Striding like a colossus into the new decade, conquering new...
That's a little over the top, don't you think?
Well, I guess, but he's right. We're still here.
Just not quite so much with the striding. Walking confidently. How's that sound?
Fine. Just as long as the signal stays a podcast all about Joss Whedon's Firefly and Serenity.
Oh, no question there. We're continuing to explore the verse, same as we have for the last 5 years.
But this year, with some new crew, new articles...
new interviews, new features...
and a new website, a new forum, and a blog.
But still at the same old address, www.serenityfirefly.com, and still coming to your MP3 player every 2 weeks.
Plus, we've got lots of our regular segments like News from the Verse, Broadwaves, The Terraformers, and Feedback.
And we want you to join us.
The Signal.
Helping to carry on building the Browncoat community.
It starts here.
The Signal.
I'm Jen Geffinger.
I'm Kevin Batchelder.
And I'm Kurt Geppinger.
And we are the SeekerCast, a podcast for fans of the TV series Legend of the Seeker. We are a community-based podcast that works to keep you up to date on some of the best news, forum discussions, and interviews in the Seeker fandom. We also do a recap and in-depth discussion of each episode.
I thought it was very rich, the story. I was afraid it was going to be a little trite, but this really played out to be a very powerful episode in my mind.
The whole episode did kind of stay one step ahead. I felt like I kept having to catch up and try and figure out what was going on, which I like that. It's not predictable, so that made me very happy the way it was done.
And also, you know, correcting the mistake they made on the Sisters of the Light in Season 1. That was the only thing of Season 1 that I cannot forgive.
It's okay, though, because we're staying focused on the series, right, Kurt?
So tune in to the SeekerCast at theseekercast.com or subscribe through iTunes.
Anyone else want to question my orders?
Hello, I'm Greg, host of a podcast called Inappropriate Conversations. The show is breaking down barriers about discussing politics, sex, and religion. Society says we should keep them separated. I say come out and play. You'll find Inappropriate Conversations on iTunes in the politics section or at inappropriateconversations.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.